talking to my people, yeah.
Tell me, people. You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope we're going to have a good day today. Middle of the week, hump day. Got to get over the hump. Hope you're going to have a good day today, man. And hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it is not, and it has to get done and must get done, that's right, will. The will. You will get it done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening, once again, this program, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays and Wednesdays, Monday and Wednesday, Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson and Brother Johnny from 7 to 9, Monday and Wednesday. They're out of New Orleans. Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson and Brother Johnny out of New Orleans. Thursday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday, the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club on Thursdays from 8 to 10. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening, family. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. on Fridays. Pinckney to Pinckney, Sunday from 5 to 6. Sunday from 5 to 6, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan. His program, Pinckney to Pinckney, Sundays from 5 to 6. And then at 7 p.m. on Sunday, once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. The Inya, Sam. Oh, let me find that. I was looking for something from Baba Baruti and Mama Yah, but I can't find it. The updated stuff, you know? Yeah. I tell you, sometimes it's there, then it's gone. It's there and then it's gone. What happened? Yeah. What happened? So I'll have to, I'm going to get it. I'm going to have it for you by Saturday, because there's some activities that the Barutis are offering and things that are happening that we need to be up on. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I know you know. So, this being the middle of Black August, and this is a commemoration of Black August. We'll get off into that. But we're going to read from the Inya Sesim, the Inya Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. August 12th. A friend, I think so, helped me a lot better. Oh, yes, it does. My glasses. A friend is one who helps and encourages you toward that which is good for you. A foe is one who hinders and discourages you from that which is good for you. Brother Akil. That's why I say, no, we can never be our own worst enemy. Never. Yes, we can be very detrimental to ourselves. There's a lot of jealousy, envy, pettiness. But the ultimate is that we need to help and encourage one another for the good for all of us. And check all those things that may hinder and discourage us from doing the things that are right for us. We're tired of detailing the European's corruption, his chaos, insanity, inhumanity, and threat of spiritual depth. The seemingly endless clearing of thorned underbrush and vines rooted in quicksand and thick with poisonous snakes wears at us when we are determined to reclaim every single step along the path to back home. It is a litany sometimes, but left forgotten. However, time has taught us that this struggle is necessary because those of us who know we are African cannot travel this way alone. We know that returning is a communal venture. It requires as many willing and able, uncompromising African warriors as we can find to rebuild and define what has been lost, but must be brought back to power. We have already overcome the fallacy that every or almost or even most Africans must be included in the revolution for it to be successful. I hope we have, because we ain't going to get everybody, especially now. I mean, especially living in a society that targets us, that targets our minds, the mental side that we experience. Here, let it suffice to say that the effective unity does not precede consciousness. And we need consciousness. Affirm, I honor my friends. We need consciousness, family. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are culturally, who you are. That's right. Awareness. Who you are historically. Not since we've been here, no. I mean, historically, from time beginning. August 13th. So we stand here on the edge of hell and look out on the world and wonder, what are we going to do in the face of what we remember? Okude, kwese, tensu. There are a number of us who have broken from weakening Eurocentric models of socialization in this completely anti-African cultural context and society. There are those of us who intend to fully be African. We have gone beyond remission to being healed beyond the likelihood of return to insanity. Ours is an active understanding that Europeans and anyone else who acts against us is our enemy. It has become impossible for us to recognize ourselves as anything other than the workers of our people's fulfillments of our ancestors' vision of African redemption. Our personal sense of being African, which molds and is molded by our physical and cultural environments, and that untouchable, inborn spiritual, cultural essence, which urges us toward and shows us how to be our African selves, are in most absolute harmony. Ashe. Just as Eurocentric thought and behavior can unwillingly become our generalized norm, so too can African-centered thought and behavior forcibly and consciously adapted in a
effort to rout out and root out our alien practices and thinking become our whole way of life. For us, being African has become real in the spiritual, mental, and physical consequences. And to be African is to wholly divest ourselves of every worthless European quality. We have moved beyond the pale of cultural misalignment. We have kept all of our appointments, attended all of our sessions, and faithfully followed the selfless advice of our ancestral healers. Ashe. Affirm, I have rejected the European way and all of its worthless qualities. I repeat, Ashe. I reaffirm, Ashe. I have rejected the European way and all of its worthless qualities. Yes. Brothers and sisters, the Inyasasim of daily revolutionary thought. You know, I love Black August. I love this. Because it's a time to commemorate. It's a time for us. You know, from... And my lady told me about August in Kentucky, their celebration before Juneteenth Day. Now, they have Emancipation Day, whether they got the information and began to act on it from Galveston, Texas, where it first happened, or they said, hey, we're just going to emancipate ourselves right here, right now. This ain't, you know, we ain't got to wait till June 19th. We're going to do this right now. And we say it so. We say that it is. We ain't ready for no damn proclamation. We ain't ready for anything that crackers say. Okay, now you are. No. We say we are. Just like Emancipation Day is. The 1st of August in the Caribbean. All those countries in the Caribbean, all those island countries in the Caribbean. August 1st, Emancipation Day in Antigua, Barbuda, Bahamas, Barbados, Belize, Bermuda, British Virgin Islands, Dominica, Grenada, Guyana, Jamaica, St. Kitts, St. Kitts and the Nevis, Trinidad and Tobago, and Canada, commemorating the anniversary of the Slavery Abolition Act of 1833, abolishing slavery in the British Empire, coming into force on August 1st, 1834. Now, you know, I'm going to tell you, I hate the British. I hate the French more because the French are still active in their behavior. But the British try to be slick. You know, the sun never sets on the British Empire. No, the British in their colonization, in their settler colonialism of Australia, New Zealand, and many other places. No, it could have been here had the people here who were British, who were other nationalities, come together and kick the British out because they didn't want no king. And, well, you got one now. You got one flat, funky-ass king now. Orange, Sir Orange. Trump, man, it's just disgusting. This man is just disgusting. But no. And so, to me, waiting for documentation from them to say this is, to me, we claim it. We say it. We determine. Chokwe Lumumba was born on the 2nd. His son is the mayor of Jackson, Mississippi. Chakwe Lumumba. He helped organize the Republic of New Africa. Yeah. Debbie Sims Africa of MOVE is born on this day in 1956. Of course, the MOVE organization in that was in August, but the bombing in Philadelphia, it destroyed all those homes, killed all those people. Wilson Good was the mayor. Yeah. Wilson Good was the mayor. Man, I would hate like hell to make that decision. Find some other way. Thomas Sankara is named president of Burkina Faso in 1983. And one of his top people in his, in fact, it was supposed to be his right-hand man, turned on him. Yeah. Turned on Thomas Sankara. And he was assassinated. Until Ibrahim Traoré came on the scene and they developed a coup and kicked out those previous. But the Sahel, Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger, and many others are coming into shape. Yeah. The Angola 3 and former Black Panther member dies. In August, Albert Woodfox went to Angola 3 in 1922, August 4th. Nelson Mandela is arrested and imprisoned in August 5th in 62. Also August 5th, the Montgomery River Brawl. A couple years ago. Yes. All kind of pictures and stuff of that. People picking up chairs. The Montgomery, Alabama River Brawl. August 6th, Jamaica gains independence from the UK in 62. August 7th, the death of Jonathan Jackson. August 7th of 1970 at San Quentin, trying to help liberate themselves and his brother, George Jackson. Jonathan Jackson dies. Then following year, which I'll probably read here, his brother. Mike Brown is killed by Caucasians in Ferguson, Missouri, the police in Ferguson, sparking the Ferguson uprising in 2014 when I moved here to Atlanta. August 10th, the Attica Prison Rebellion in 71 is frequently invoked and commemorated as part of the Black August, as it was a key moment in the radical prison movement, although officially recognized dates of rebellion in September. But things happened in August, and it was ugly. Yeah, they shot them brothers in their yard. Attica is Black August resistance. August 11th, Watts. The Watts riot in August 11th. 65. 7 years later, in August, Watts Stack. Stack Records out of Memphis put a concert on at the Coliseum in Los Angeles. And a great documentary, Watts Stack. Go to YouTube, you can get the whole thing, I believe. Or just find somebody that may have it. Please watch it. It's great. I mean, it's not good. It's great. And my brother Gerald in L.A., he's in it. He's probably one of the last living people in it. You know, good brother. Yeah. Watts Stack. From the Watts Riot, the Watts Rebellion, Watts Uprising of 1965. And Watts Stack is 1972 documentary. The voodoo ceremony that would lead to the first large-scale uprising of the enslaved in Saint-Domingue and sparked the Haitian Revolution, August 14th. August 17th, this weekend, Sunday, is Marcus Garvey's birthday. I haven't seen anything, but I'm just assuming that, of course, the park where we have all the other things that are happening will be happening this Sunday, maybe Saturday and Sunday. I'll know more on Friday, believe me. I'll know more on Friday. But Marcus Garvey's birthday is this weekend, and I hope in wherever you are that something is being organized. And if it isn't, sometimes don't wait for nobody else. Shit, you do it. You do it. I've always been proactive in that sense. If it didn't happen, I'd get some folks together. Let's go make it happen. I've always, oh man, from time I can remember, since I've known about Marcus Mosiah Garvey, especially in the last 20, 30 years. I ain't talking about when I was younger. When I first found out about Marcus Garvey, I was in a program called Learn Power. I was in high school. And learned about the Black National Anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing. Many inventors, many other people of significance. Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, at the time that I was in school, you didn't learn about our people. You learned about Booker T. Washington and Dr. George Washington Carver. You didn't learn about nobody who resisted. They didn't talk about resistance. They didn't want to put something in your mind. We're going to ignore that. They didn't talk about Harriet Tubman. They sure in the hell didn't talk about Nat Turner. Okay? Killing white folk? Oh, hell no. So, that program was tremendous to me. Helped my first awakening of consciousness. And then when I came on the fire department, I was able to read a lot and got involved organizationally in a number of organizations. Black Firefighters Organization, of course, and many other organizations I was fortunate enough to be involved in. Firefighting organization and firefighters, period, occupation has literally taken me around the world. Yeah. George Jackson on the 21st, Nat Turner's rebellions on the 21st of August. August 21st to the 23rd in 1831. And George Jackson, August 21st, 1971. He was killed. The Haitian Rebellion, 1791. August 23rd, the uprising of enslaved Africans in Domingue, beginning the Haitian Rebellion. And they're commemorated by UNESCO as the International Day of Remembrance for the captive trade and its abolition. August 24th, member of the Black Panther Party and Black Liberation Army and co-founder of the Jericho Movement and Free Mumia Abdul-Jamal Coalition and vice president of the Republic of New Africa, Santa Fe, Bokara, dies in 2023. August 24th. Emmett Till, murdered August 28th, 1955. He's abducted, tortured, and lynched and murdered in Mississippi. Money, Mississippi. In 1955. Brought back to Chicago. And Mamie Till said, I want them to see what these monsters did to my baby, did to my sons. I want to open casket. Mr. Rayner of the funeral home was objecting to it, but, you know, he said, okay, and for your wishes, man, we will do that. I mean, I'm quite sure you can easily see, you can go to online at Emmett Till, go to, put up Emmett Till and you can see the, how hideous his face looks, how distorted what these people had done, and how they got off. How they got off. And then, because there's no, you can't deal with double jeopardy, they off. So now they can say, yeah, we murdered him. And they did. To Life magazine. They got paid. The injustice in this society consistently happens when you learn about the history of things that have happened, all the things that they've done. That's why I'm saying, people, I don't want to hear a damn thing about, well, come on, let's get together. No, I don't want to hear a damn thing. Only thing I want to hear is independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for us as a people. Only thing I want to participate in is a Pan-Africanism. Because if it is not Pan, if either it's Pan-Africanism or we perish. Either we're going to unify of African people. I ain't talking about anybody else. Unify or we're going to die. Fred Hampton, Gabriel's Rebellion, Gabriel Prosser, The Planned Rebellion, Gabriel Prosser, there's a good movie that you can check out, good for kids, yeah, it's called Brother Future, public television put it on, it's called Brother Future, but this young brother out of Detroit, you know, he sees these cats stealing. And he's in a garbage bin looking out. And then he steals from them. He steals DVD players. That was happening at the time. It's the 90s, you know. And he has a daydream while he's in class. And he goes, so he's on the street selling. He's on the street selling. And the cops pull up and he takes off. And his partner, the brother named Crunch, who's conscious, got the red, black, and green medallion and so forth, you know. And he takes off, and he's hit by a car, and he's transposed back to 18. Yeah, back to 1800s, 1850-something. Gabriel Prosser's in Virginia, his rebellion, yeah. Very good movie. Moses Gunn. Mm-hmm. Vanetta McGee. So check that out if you can. Good to show students. Good to show your children. It's a good piece. August 32 is the birth of Fred Hampton, who was the chair of the Black Panther Party. He was born August 30th, 48, and he died in that hell. An assassination of bullets in 1969. Assassinated by the FBI. Yep. I'm going to today talk about and deal with Black August. We're going to talk about Black August. Yeah. This comes out of News One. News One is American African radio station and news organization, Kathy Hughes. They were on TV for quite a while. When I first moved here, Fathead, thick neck Roland Martin. Man, they've been jumping on Brother Rogue. Right on Roland. Hang in there, man. But, I mean, some things came out about him that's not cool, but hey, he's trying to bring this information to our people, and I applaud him for that. So, right on Roland Martin. And some others. I guess that's why he had some people on his panel. He always tried to have a cross session. I know that when he had Umar in a one-on-one, You know, he tried to say some things in Umar. I mean, as tough as it is for me about Umar Ifantunde, and I love Umar Ifantunde. You know, I brought him to Milwaukee. Hadn't really, he knows who I am. I know who he is. And damn, it's messed up. Brother Ralph, you know Brother Ralph. And that's how I got on this platform here, Brother Ralph. He keeps me abreast of a lot of things, man. Brother Ralph is a good brother. Appreciate him tremendously. But he sent me Umar begging. I mean, really begging. The one he begged before is just, he says he ain't had no money. And so now he's going to protest. He's going to protest. And some of the things that are happening may not be just or right. I don't know. And frankly, hey, if he can do something to make his situation better for him, I guess, whatever. But Umar did this to himself. You know, he has a building that has not actively been a school for well over almost 10 years. 10 years. I don't know the exact. That might be less. I know it's probably less than that. But still. Yeah. So he said, am I going to come there in March? I said, peace and Pan-Africanism? Hell no. I ain't marching shit. I ain't demonstrating. I haven't given him any money in quite a few years, too. But hey, I would have supported him. I thought he, I mean, in fact, still at this moment, still at this time, there's nobody that articulates our situation as good. I mean, there's some other, but as good as Umar Ifantunde. No bull. So, I mean, yeah. Here in the op-ed they have, In this one of News One Daily Stories, I was going to read about Trump and his takeover, moving tanks in Chocolate City. D.C. is center stage in the opening act of Trump's authoritarian rehearsal. And that's my sister, Stacy Patton. It's a good piece. Stacy Patton is cold, y'all. You got to get Substack, man. You got to get Substack. And many good writers are going to Substack. It's independent. And in fact, I've seen Michael Myers on there. What's his name? Michael. Oh, fat dude. Anyway. There's an op piece, which is upsetting to me. This is not upsetting. This is the Watts riot. And if they had social media then in 1965, you know, it began with a traffic stop. It ended with 6 days of unrest, 34 lives lost, and the city in flames. On August 11th, the 60th anniversary of Watts riot, sons and brothers honor the day of reimagining the events through social media, connecting a historic uprising to a new generation. Watts riot. And then here's another one. We march with Selma. Op-ed. We are not our ancestors. You're right, because y'all are punks. You're not our ancestors. Cop on leave after video shows him choking a 17-year-old boy. But this is what I'm going to deal with today. Op-ed piece. Black August is more than history. It is a mandate for action. It is a mandate for action, family. Black August and what ought to be something to further the radical tradition While it's easy to
this
bemoan,
call may be recorded or transcribed.
While it's easy to bemoan, excuse me, the plight of our nation, of this nation, not our nation, of this nation, or self-soothe by over-indexing on entertainment, we should channel the determination and conviction of our ancestors. More than the last exhale of summer, August figures prominently in the African experience. Originated in 1970, Black August honors the life and legacy of George Jackson. Jackson was assassinated during a prison uprising at San Quentin, August 21st, 1971, and his brother was killed the year before, Jonathan Jackson. His death ignited the prison abolition movement. Decades later, generations of social justice advocates pause in August to remember Jackson and other political prisoners. Black August is an opportunity to honor that radical tradition. As significant as the month is, I'm not sure there's a full appreciation for its significance among the broader society, amongst us. I don't give a damn the broader society, but the significance among us. There have been several defining moments in the month of August. However, traffickers brought one of the first, that's right, in 1619, August 20th, 1619. The Haitian Revolution, August 14th, tomorrow, 1791, resulting in Haiti becoming the first African republic in this hemisphere. Nat Turner's Rebellion, August 1831. August 28, 1955, at the age of 14, Emmett Till was killed by a vicious mob. Now, this cat, him and his brother-in-law, they put together some folks and went to Mr. Wright, Moses Wright's house and snatched Emmett up, drove him to that place, and just beat the shit out of him and then shot him. Bob Moses, who led the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, was brutally attacked while registering black people to vote in Mississippi. The March on Washington, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I Have a Dream speech, occurred on August 28, 1963. 2 years later, in 1965, Bloody Sunday happened in the Voting Rights Act and signed into law. August 6, 1965, the march, and me and Brother Johnny Miller, we went there for the 50th, 2015. It came not via goodwill of President Lyndon Baines Johnson, but after years of African resistance, racial terror, lynchings, and violence. Sign of voting. And Malcolm said it best. He said, if it doesn't take any rights to get you to vote, it shouldn't take any to get mine. I should be able to vote. I should be able to have every law that's on the book is for every citizen. There has always been a host of African luminaries who were born or died in August, such as James Baldwin, Eldridge Cleaver, Fred Hampton, and T.J. Jameson. Black August, then, is both a moment of remembrance and a call for action. Two people who died in August were very important to me. One was a dear friend who I know. The other one's a scholar. They're both scholars. Let me say that right now. I'm not diminishing either one in their scholarship. They're both great scholars. But Rinoco Rashidi became a friend. You know, he became a friend. I visited him in L.A., his house. He came, stayed at mine. Oh, man. In fact, the last time I really saw him, I was riding with my daughter. And he was in town to make a presentation. And I didn't know it, but I saw him on the street. I know him, you know. And he was downtown. I yelled out at him, picked him up. My daughter was stunned, too, because I didn't say, oh, look, there's nothing. I just, to myself, and I opened, closed, lowered the window down. Hey, Renoco! Yeah. He was born August 16th, 1954. And he passed away August 2nd, 2021. August 2nd, 2021. In Kemet. The irony of both of these brothers. None above four. Asa Hilliard. Dr. Asa Hilliard. Is that they both died in Kemet doing what they loved. Leading a tour. Giving information. Showing. They both. Yeah. Renoco Rashidi and Dr. Asa Hilliard. All both seriously part of Black August. Born in August and transitioned in August. Two men who I have high esteem and great respect for their scholarship. As Renoco said, history is a light that illuminates the past and a key that unlocks the door to the future. I say. In my presentation on Kemet and the piece that was added to it, The Great Pyramid K, 2019. And if you haven't seen the documentary, Great Pyramid K, 2019, I suggest, please go to YouTube. Go to YouTube. You see the whole documentary, 3.5 hours long on YouTube. And it tells you, and it shows you who built the pyramids and how they were built. And if you have an objective mind, you can say, yeah, I can see that. Because they're still telling all kinds of stupid-ass fantasy giants and aliens and white people, Caucasians. That's why. And in fact, I met Renoco through ASCAC. And of course, seen Asa at ASCAC and other things. I seen him here one time, here in Atlanta. Of course, he was working here in Atlanta, living here in Atlanta at Georgia State University. And I said, we were, had a chance to talk with him. And I said, yeah, man, some guy thought I was you. We laughed. Yeah, he did. No, man, I'm not Asa here, boy. Wish I was. Yeah. And we would talk about that when we see each other at the ASCAC conferences. Yeah. The Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization, of which he was a founding member with Dr. Clark and Dr. Ben, Milana Karinga, many others. And I had some good friends that transitioned recently that were on that initial return to the motherland. Hundreds of us, I think it's 86, and somebody out there rescue me if I'm wrong. They took that pilgrimage to Kemet. Yeah. And of course, there's many of scholars. Ashwa Kwesi, definitely one of them, leading. My good brother, Bomani Tahimba, has a tour going to Kemet upcoming. So we got to reclaim them. That's us. You know, that's us. I haven't seen that piece on Facebook too much anymore of this Arab dude claiming Kemet, all of it, from its inception to now being theirs. You should know better. He should understand and follow the history. That's what you do. You follow the history. In the spirit of Black August, one can't help but think of the Black Panthers as well. I believe they provided a roadmap for African organizers today. They understood that poverty contributed to poor health. Before we knew the term social determinants of health, the Black Panther Party was working to address it. Their free breakfast for children program fed more than 20,000 children. They opened schools and offered courses on economics, self-defense, and first aid. They escorted seniors to medical appointments and even distributed clothes to children and families in need. In addition to feeding and clothing American African children, they operated over a dozen clinics in the communities across the country. They would screen Black people for sickle cell and many other health issues. Many historians will focus singularly on their militancy, but underemphasize their humanitarian work. I say, the Black Panther Party. More than anything else, the Black Panther Party taught us that our community did not have to wait for goodwill. That may never come. We can come together and do it for ourselves. I say. The organization that the brother who wrote this is Dr. Herbert Brown III. He's the founder and director of Black Churches for Food Security Network. And he says, my organization, the Black Church Food Security Network, aims to walk in the same Black communal self-determination tradition. For instance, our response to food insecurity is to support Black farmers, encourage Black churches to start and grow food on land that they own, and connect Black churches with Black farms for bulk wholesale purchasing. Few things right now are more revolutionary than Black people working together to grow our own food and patronize Black farmers. Ashe. As impactful as their work was, the Black Panther Party paid a hefty price for their advocacy. Many were killed, jailed, or exiled. Now, in the sunset of their lives, several languished behind bars. Black August then is an opportunity to urge the release of all remaining Black political prisoners, such as Mumia Abdul-Jamal. In light of this history, those of us who would put our hands to the plow and continue to work of those dreamers and dream keepers must never surrender our hope. Black August is a rallying cry to return to our roots, embracing the kind of discipline, activism, and organizing that is informed by our communities and what our communities actually need. To do this, we need a revival of the principles that helped our ancestors and elders before us. This month, more than any other month, we owe our ancestors a renewed commitment to continue what they began. That's because the fight for our rights, a fight for our human dignity, and the Black Panther and the Black power never ends. It evolves, but it does not end. Therefore, progress demands something from you and from me. This moment is not only an opportunity, it is a mandate. Happy Black August to those ready to further the work. Ashe, Black August family. Black August. Yeah. Renoco and Dr. Asa Hilliard. We're going to take a break. We come back from the break. There's a piece at the end of the News One piece. It's a video piece. Now, if you ever heard me say this, of course, if you listen to this program, you have heard me say this. I believe that the worst president is Ronald Reagan, but this asshole now will far surpass him. He is definitely the worst. Reagan had two terms, and he's having two terms, you know. Yeah, Reagan had two terms. But this guy, he's something else, man. Yeah, he's the worst. He is. He is the worst. So let me cue up this stuff here, family, so we can... All right. Okay.
Don't mix pink salt with lemon and two other ingredients if you don't want to donate your entire wardrobe in less than a week. Don't.
Sorry. Let's do this right.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
We'll be right back.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Bobby Lyles. Man, that's tough, isn't it? Bobby Lyles from his album, from his album Ivy Flow, featuring Marcus Miller, Gerald Albright, Kurt Waldheimer, and Najee. Cold cut. Good album. I'm trying to find, family, the piece that I want to play. My iPad has been acting kind of funny, unfortunately. And so, shucks. Maybe I won't be able to play it off this iPad. But I'm going to try. I am going to try. I always give a good effort, family. I try. These they say, at least the brother tried. At least he tried. Yeah. It's in that particular piece with Black August in News One. There now, I think I'm going to be able to do this. And I hope that I will be able to do it. I mentioned many times before how much I hated Ronald Reagan, that he was the worst president for many reasons, and they kind of highlight some in this particular piece, you know. But there's no doubt that Trump will be, go down as the worst president in the history of this country, a man who tried to destroy this country. So I'm going to play this particular piece for you, family. It deals with the elections, deals with Ronald Reagan, and deals with us. Okay? Let's see if we can do this. Because my pad is whack. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's one. Let's go. The Black Ballot. So I'm trying to... Yeah. My equipment is not... Are you going to play for me now, man, or what? Yeah, I think so. Let's go. Well, I'm going to tell you, family, I had to update on a lot of stuff. My computer, my laptop. Yeah, it's going to be some changes around here. It did play, believe me. It did play. Okay. Here we go, family.
The drums and bugles signal the moment the record crowd of over 100,000 has been awaiting. The entrance of President-elect Ronald Reagan.
I remember my freshman year in high school watching the inauguration, really not liking the Reagan so much because, you know, I'd been listening to my parents and, you know, they were like, yeah, you know, they're not good for the country, blah, blah, blah. And then I sort of just got caught up in the pageantry of it all and the Hollywoodness, if that's a word, of it all. And, you know, and the sort of devil may care, plain speaking, president of the United States, and I'd never heard that before. Remember, we were coming off of a president who had been a peanut farmer and was a Southerner, and so was I.
He's the guy who figures out that at the national level, if you are suave. You can beautifully package white supremacy into this serving of polite racism, full of dog whistles and hidden words and phrases with a little wink at the end to let the people in.
No, we're not gonna do this. We're not gonna do this. Shucks. I like this piece, though, so I can do it in another way. Yeah, I could. Let me try another way.
Not only win the presidency, but change politics forever.
You know, when I was locked up in the early 1970s, it was black power this, black power that. Everybody had big afros.
Afros, dashikis. The black cones with the fists. It was just a lot of knowledge that was being spread. It was cool to be smart, you know, and knowledgeable, especially about your culture.
Tonight, we present a landmark in television entertainment, Roots.
A lot of love, man, a lot of love. I didn't hear the N-word too much back then. It was brother, 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 you know? And I seen the change up until...
But in the 80s, it got out.
We had both inflation and we had a stagnant economy. And we had high unemployment.
You had double-digit unemployment and you had this thing called explosion inflation, something we're dealing with right now. And that was without a pandemic.
Good evening. I'm speaking to you tonight to give you a report on the state of our nation's economy. I regret to say that we're in the worst economic mess since the Great Depression.
So now he comes out with this plan called Reaganomics, and he's like, we're going to lower the marginal tax rate. And all of that money that the job makers and the business owners are going to be making because we lower their tax rates, well, that's all going to trickle down to you, the worker. Now, if it's one thing black folks know, it's that nothing ever trickled down. It's that Reaganomics was absolutely evil, and it represents a distinct turn for the country because profits start to increase exponentially, and wages for the average American worker begin to stagnate. So now your graph is going like this. You told me that the money was going to trickle down, so the graph is supposed to go like this.
I was young and in high school, and money was tough, and crack came out. I watched the crack come into the neighborhoods shortly after, and then the women became bitches, hoes, you know, snicker. And the whole dynamic changed. And I was able to see that. And then the mindset of the majority turned to something that was definitely distasteful. But I didn't realize that then because I also participated in that. Wound up selling crack. We wanted, you know, the nice sneakers. And this was a way to obtain that type of stuff. Back then, the streets loved Ronald Reagan. Drugs was flowing. Later learned that he was supporting an illegal war. you know, with Nicaragua. So they had the coke coming in, the money was coming from the drugs, which was supplying the guns that was going back to Nicaragua so that they could fight this war, right? But the black people paid for it. We didn't benefit financially. Anything we spent, you know, it was on material stuff that we didn't own. And then we didn't buy really, you know, the property or own the blocks that we was fighting and killing over. We was bamboozled, you know, like that wasn't a good thing for us at all.
Ronald Reagan was one of the worst things that ever happened to us.
You have a former Hollywood star, Ronald Reagan, as the president of the United States. And a record number of African Americans voted for Reagan, not because they knew Reagan or they believed in his party. He was a celebrity. And I think we have to be careful that influences based on celebrity.
I did register as a Republican then. I was young and naive, and I thought that, you know, I wanted to do something different. I didn't really know about politics.
This is where Reagan lived, not far from here. Ron. Hey, Ron, later one's born. I ain't say shit.
But very quickly after that, you know, I started to mature and grow up and understand what the...
Man. I apologize, family. I'm not going to go through that. That's... Sorry about that. Basically, what they were talking about was how terrible Ronald Reagan was, and particularly for us, even though he signed the Dr. King bill. You know, he signed that bill. And a lot of pressure for him to do so. And I remember a couple of states, Arizona being one of them, that didn't sign on to it, and they got boycotted by us. Eventually they signed. In fact, I remember working with a local radio station, WNOV 860 in Milwaukee, to get signatures out, and of course we had the King Center Park right there, and we had a program there. And Dexter King, who has passed, I think there's only King Jr. and Bernice left. Dexter King passed. He was there to witness that, along with Mary Ellen Shad Strong, Gerald Jones's mother. And Gerald Jones just passed recently this year, who's the owner of WNOV Radio and Courier Communications, a newspaper, Milwaukee Courier. Yeah. It's a great time to, at that moment, you know, 1980. 81, whatever. And so, Reagan did his 8 years, and then Bush got in 1 year, and then Clinton. And I hate Clinton. And I remember Clinton's re-election. The black firefighters went to Chicago because of Clinton. And all the organizations were supposed to meet in Chicago and show support for the re-election of Bill Clinton. Shit. And let me see what else. Yeah. He gets elected, and then Bush gets elected. He does 2 terms. And then Bush comes in. And of course, 9/11 happened, of which he was responsible for. And of course, in 9/11, as you'll see next month, I'm going to be going a lot deeper and having more. I'm committing 3 days in 9/11 in September, around September 11th, to talk about, because there's so much information out that really, although the government would work hard not to have anything discussed from a governmental standpoint, but there'll be people like me and other individuals and groups, you know, who will hold seminars and lecture series and stuff like that, because it was some bullshit. It was. And man, really. And some of the things that I haven't seen on YouTube, on YouTube that you know, that has been censored through 9/11. I remember this one brother, and so I got some pieces from him. So he's older brother. He's deceased now, but he's one of the first on the scenes, helping firefighters. He was a firefighter, and talking with all the firefighters and the people that he know, that people that he knew that were lost. Yeah. So we're gonna do that. And so apologize for the equipment malfunctions, but the phone lines is open. So give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You can talk what you want to talk about. Want to talk about Black August? Cool. You don't want to talk about something other than that? That's cool too. You know? Give us a call. Yeah. Black August. Mm-hmm. Black August. Let me say this, that the age that I am, I remember all of this. I remember all of this very well. Growing up at that time in the city of Milwaukee, the struggles that we had with open housing marches and the commandos and the Black Panthers, the Republic of New Africa. Yeah. Interesting time, family. I don't know. If you had some experiences, give us a call. Let us know what was happening with you and what you were up to, what you were doing at that time. And what is most interesting is today, because they're letting this man do this. They're letting Donald Trump do whatever the hell he wants to do. And it's not going to be good, family. But for me, I'm down with, you go ahead and you do that, man. Because just further substantiates All right, Brother Irv, rescuing me, man. Brother Irv, what's happening?
Baba Hoshi, everything's good. How are you?
I'm well, man. Having some technical difficulties. My iPad went out. So I was going to play some stuff that, technical difficulties, but we'll get it together, man, as you know we will.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Just one step at a time. And you know, our listening audience, the people that listen to this show, they understand that every day is a challenge when you're fighting for liberation and sovereignty and self-determination. Yep. It's a challenge. It's not easy. If it was easy, you know, everybody be doing it. This is difficult, and when things happen, you just have to overcome it. You know, just overcome. We got this, man. What you have to do and make it like the white guy said on my job, put it where the goats can get it. What was that? Who got a goat? Why you gotta go? No, we can make this happen, brother. So it's all good. Everything's good with you?
Yeah.
Other than trying to make things happen the way they are. But yeah. You know, Brother Oshie, every day there's something to talk about because the struggle continues.
Sure.
But every day,
yeah.
The psychopaths that we live with, that we live amongst, who are actually running things,
mm-hmm.
Well, appear to be running things, they just
right.
come up with new and different ways to make your life
a living hell.
Difficult. But it may, your ass are a living. And you know, Baba Oshi, it may not happen today, but these people are playing chess. Mm-hmm. They're down the road.
Right.
I mean, 2025 wasn't written. That document, 2025, wasn't written last year.
No, some years ago. Oh, yeah, that was a long time ago it was written. And planning to implement that.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yes.
But they realize, and you know, they had the perfect idiot in Trump to have that implemented. So those right-wing conservative neocons, they knew what they were doing. And they were ready mm-hmm. with this plan. And if Elon Musk can run his magic, so to speak, as they say, with the computers and steal this election, then they're going to implement this program and it's over. And that's what's going to happen. Or that's what is happening.
And that's mm-hmm. what is happening. I think what we do is we continuously say they're going to do this and they're going to do this to us. And then what we should be saying is that they are doing it to us.
Right.
It's happening in real time, and we got a front row seat.
Mm-hmm.
We got a front row seat, and our children and our children's children, because this is where they are.
Yeah,
into generational threat.
But see, but for us, now that we know, are there many strong brothers and sisters? I say there are, who will go ahead and not just challenge this shit because. It is theirs, and they're going to do what they're going to do, but help us see the direction that we need to go, the things that we need to do, how we need to come inward and close ranks, you know, and pull resources and to begin to challenge ourselves. There's nothing, you know, we can march, yeah, okay. We can demonstrate, we can protest, we can do all of that shit, you know. It's going to be to no avail. You know, and I know there's a lot of in that protest situation. There's going to be a lot of Caucasians and a lot of people of color, so to speak, if you want to use that term, Latinos particularly, because all those folks who Latinos who voted for Trump, them cats got deported.
Oh man. They catch as hell right
they
now.
They are. They got deported, man.
They feel. Yeah. I mean, they all had the Hispanics for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Mexicans for Trump.
Yeah.
At the same, this is the part that gets you, Baba Oshie. At the same time, you're supporting this guy. He's building a wall between this country and that country,
mm-hmm.
the country that you come from, and you're supporting someone like that, who is basically telling you. Oh, it's not you. It's like what Caucasians do with American Africans. But we like the good ones, you know. Mm-hmm. The good ones are fine. You know, I don't know what I'm here for, but I'm going to do the best I can, as long as I can. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it brings me back to what I've continuously said, and I heard Louis Farrakhan say it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't rise any higher than the condition of your people.
Right. That's right.
So if my brother's in trouble, I'm in trouble. And we have taken on the traits of these Caucasians. By the way, a strong black man raises a very weak child. And why is that? Because you don't want your kids' feet to hit the ground.
Mm.
I'm not going to let you suffer like I suffered.
Right.
But by me suffering, what did it make me into?
Right.
It made me into a strong
man.
Black man.
That's right.
Come on, a man.
Right.
But when you don't let your children feet at the ground, you know, he needs that, man. I think
they weak.
I got the money.
Yeah, they weak.
Very weak. Mm. Weak. And then you wonder why the white boy is the supervisor, and you just can't make supervisor because you're comfortable in the place that you're in, because you're either going to raise a sheep or you're going to raise a wolf. The sheep. You have a whole closet full of food downstairs, and what the boy, you know, when Mama get home, she gonna fix us something to eat. Ain't you hungry?
Yeah.
When she get home, she gonna. But a wolf is a whole. Oh, he gonna fix him something to eat. That's because right. He's hungry. But we don't raise hungry children. My kid. What you need, babe? You want something from McDonald's? You know. And wait a minute. And we'll call and have him bring it to you. That's how we are now.
Pathetic. They're pathetic.
But Baba Oshi, we'll sit on this, and I always try to play the devil's advocate. When we sit here and say these things to each other, when it comes to my family, come on now, I'm not going to see my children suffer. But as I get older, I want them to feel what it feels like. We're going to make it happen. But I need you to understand, I'm not going to be here always. And what are you going to do when you are successful? Are you going to reach back and help somebody? Because like you just said a few minutes ago, it's time for us to do what the white folks did, circle the wagons. We got to circle the wagons.
Right.
We got to purge the ones that are not down with this. They need to be handled.
They got to go. That's right.
In them movies I see with them Italians, this guy went out there and shot his brother in a boat. Who does that? You want just the family? Blew his head off. Are you serious?
Yeah.
We have to have somewhere near that type of mentality if we're going to fight this evil. Because if you ain't on board, to where I am yet, stay where you are. Because coming over here with me could be dangerous for you, my brother. Yeah. I love you so much. But what I'm not going to let you do is kill our generation. Right. Our generational wealth. You're not going to kill our generational education of who we are, where we're from, and how we got to where we are. This ain't because they don't like us. This is because they despise you. That's past this life. Baba Oshi, we're talking redlining, we're talking Jim Crow, we're talking slavery. All those things actually happened. That's why we're not here, because we're the stupid, a hillbilly going to own all this land. I was in Pennsylvania the other day, and all this land was owned by this cracker. I'm like, and he's about as dumb as a bag of chips. But his grandfather gave it to his father, and now he got it. And he ain't smart as me. So it's not that we don't think about it, brother. It's not because he's smarter than me that he has these things. It's because the system that we live under gives these people privilege.
Right.
See, and it's the system. We have to fight the system. And Brother Paul talks about the systems, and he gets excited about it because it's real, and it affects you. And we got to think, Bible, we're not going to be here forever, brothers. We got to leave some instructions, like Dr. Clark left instructions for me. Amos Wilson left a blueprint.
Blueprint. Yes, he did.
Come on now.
Blueprint for Black Power.
So you can't say you don't.
No.
Now, when you say you don't know what to do, you can't do that. You know what to do. You can read. You can. If you can't read, you can listen. Because they got audio books now for people like me, you know.
Yeah, I'm here. Take it with you. Yeah, you can take it with you.
Come on. And brother, you can't unhear something. Once you hear it, it penetrates your psyche. That's why you got to make sure that all these negative brothers, man, we got it good. We ain't going to never. We should just stay where we is. I'm glad they let us stay here. Thank you, Donald Trump. Thank you, Donald Trump. Did you thank Reagan? Because he was a bigger racist than Donald Trump. But he was on the down low.
Yeah.
Did you thank Biden? He was a bigger racist than Reagan. But he was on the, he would rub you on the head and then take the stuff on the backside with the other hand. But Donald Trump is one of these cats. He ain't got enough sense. Arrogant.
No, he's very arrogant. He's so afraid. He's just overt with his shit, man.
Oh, wait a minute. Bob, did you hear what Clarence Thomas, supposedly the Supreme Court has fined Burkina Faso $500 million or some foolishness for their gold or something like that?
Is that right?
And, you know, Ibrahim, come on now. Ibrahim says, this is like breaking in my house and stealing my stuff, mm-hmm. and then suing me because you was in the house stealing and you fell and hurt yourself, so you're gonna sue me. You don't know. The thing is, we don't know if these are AI generated things or if he really was speaking. But I think it was him because the things he was saying were.
Right. You would perceive that to be so. And that's what I said when I played him last week. In terms of AI generated stuff, I think you need to make a disclaimer. But the spirit of what we heard and how it goes, that has to be, it was dead on. And so I'm quite sure maybe that piece that you're mentioning too is the same way. It's dead on, you know. And in fact, the way it sounded, And how it flowed is just like is what I would love to hear. Is what I would love to hear, an African leader of his magnitude present to us. No doubt. Yeah.
Ibrahim told him, "You don't run this anymore. This means nothing to me. You mean nothing to me. You how are you going to come over here and take my people? Take my people. You took us in slavery. Then you're going to come here and say what to me?" This gold is not yours. Nothing here belongs to you.
Nothing.
Everything here, nothing. Yeah,
nothing. Not a damn thing.
The air, the oxygen, nothing. And you're going to tell me what to do with my gold? You're going to tell me where I can spend it? He said, give me the sanctions. Sanctions mean nothing to us. We want nothing from you. And it's just like the black people here in this country. At one point, black people were trying to go to Africa. Marcus Garvey was trying to get us, and they were doing everything to keep us here. And it's the same way in Africa. The Africans don't want nothing to do with you Caucasians. We can take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. You got Gates over there trying to put birth control in these Africans in Kenya because he's saying there's too many people on the planet. Yeah. Who the hell are you to say there's too many people on the planet?
Yep.
Who are you, white man? Who are you?
He ain't vaccinating or putting birth control into Europeans. Into Australia, into where Caucasians are, because their numbers have been dwindling. They have been experiencing negative population growth for damn near 20 years. So no, if they're crying about too many people on the damn planet, they're talking about us. They're talking about us. They're talking about Africans and the fact that they feel that we have no worth as human beings, but we have mineral wealth under our feet. And that's what they want, you know.
That's what they want.
Yeah, that's what they want, man.
Really quickly, Baba Oshie, what white folks have managed to do is to make you believe that oil is scarce.
Right.
And there's enough oil on this planet to last for hundreds of trillions of years. So it's not scarce.
But to me, to hell with oil, because we know what has happened with oil. That's why we have the climate issue we have. But it's the same thing with diamonds, Herb, the same thing with diamonds. Diamonds are plentiful, but they had to make them scarce to bring up the kind of value that they wanted to sell them at, see? So it's all a plan, man. Yeah. All right, dear brother. Hang on, brother Herb.
Yeah, I'm just...
All right,
I'm
man.
I'm on my own.
Always.
To the end.
Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, this is the wheels come off.
Okay. All right. Good afternoon, brother Jay.
Yeah, what's happening, Oshie? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine. How you been, man? What's been happening with you? Ain't heard from you in a while. You been okay?
Yeah, I'm all right, man. Just got a lot of things going on, but you know.
You always do,
I'm
man.
Good, man.
Good.
I had received a text and a call yesterday in regards to something that I don't know if it's true or not. And I said, you know, I got to call Oshie and ask Oshie because I know Oshie is one of his disciples. You know, now is the Prince of Pan-Africanism and nationalism and all the Baguni Google-ism Umar Johnson in the marching game now?
Well, Umar Ifantunde is in bad straits based upon a number of pleas to the general community. And, you know, I'm sorry for the situation. He brought it on himself. He brought it on himself. So supposedly his accounts have been frozen. He's asking, begging for money. And what one of the banks did, he feels, is unjust and illegal. And so he's calling for a march on them. I don't know how that's going to happen, you know, or how that's going to look and who's going to be there. But just as I told Brother Ralph.
My question is this. What is the march for? And how did he get into the marching game? Because ever since I done heard his show or his pitch or his presentation or whatever the hell you want to call it, I've never known him to be down with the marching game. So is this a new phase to the chapter of pawning black people?
No, what this is the fact that, you know, it's a demonstration and it brings attention. And he wants to bring attention to the issue of what the bank has done, you know, freezing his account. So he wants all of us to understand they unjustly froze his account. You know, that's what he's saying. And so he wants us to march with him to bring attention to that. And hopefully the pressure will come to bear and they will release his funds so he can function. You know, that's the deal. But I mean, Hold on, Jay. Keep that thought. He has been planning this school for well over a decade. I've known Brother Umar Ifantunde for a long time, you know, and supported him, brought him to Milwaukee, put him up. Everything, man, you know, so it's not like, you know, I don't know this man. And I told him that in Atlanta at one time. I'm kind of disappointed, brother. And as I said, I mean, you had an opportunity, man, and you still do. If you can, I mean, all the stuff that this is when he was going through that conscious stripper thing, his father talking about his ass and all kind of stuff like that. I mean, he was, you know, this was the beginning of the you know, his reputation being deeply sullied, you know. But, I mean, it was before that because people had donated money. There's a thing that he has done with young people. And he proved that he did it. He took those young people to the Caribbean or took them out east on a thing. So he has done something. But calling to develop this school and then not doing it, having the building, like Brother Ralph sent me some photos of murals that have been done. And that's nice. But as I said to him, those are just symbolism without substance. Where is the damn school? When is it going to be open? Here's a number of things that he said that it's supposed to have done. And it didn't happen. You know? So his integrity and credibility is deeply in question. And so now he wants to do this march. And he needs some money. So, you know, if your ass don't march, he don't give a damn. But if you send him some money, that's what he wants you to do. So it is.
Well, I can honestly say this without no hesitation whatsoever. Okay. He couldn't get a half a penny from me. I wouldn't send him a half a penny. I wouldn't send him nothing. I think he's a con man, a finesse man. I think he's a liar. He's a hypocrite. He's all the things that black people don't need at this time. And for now, to get into the marching game, like the master pimp himself, pork chop chicken eating Reverend Al Sharpton, now I know I've finally seen it all. Because who would have thought the Prince of Pan-Africanism would follow in the footsteps of a pork chop chicken eating pimp preacher like Al Sharpton to put a con on? But you know, as my brother Ralph always says, we must unify or die.
That's right.
And it seems like things of this nature are leading us to the casket. Because anybody in their cotton picking mind who would give and follow them two pimps, I feel sorry for African people, because that ain't the sovereignty that we're supposed to be looking for. Right. And for in 10 years, you're now going to come back on the flipping of the con and say that they go take the school and things of that nature away from you. And believe me, I done had my bank account frozen before. And they don't freeze your bank account without being able to give you a detailed reason for freezing your bank account. And more than likely, it could be the IRS is after his ass. Mm. That could be the truth of the matter. Because if it was a bank mistake or a bank error, they usually clear it up in a week or two. Mm-hmm. But if it's anything longer than that, nah, it's more to the story. But, you know, from that Negro, we never get the truth. We only get half truth. But, you know, other than that, Oshie, all we can do is look forward to what's going to be the next scam and scheme that he come up with. And anybody that march with them, more power to you. Just make sure you got some good shoes on. And let me give you a tip. Let me give you a tip. Go out there and get you some Kotex and put them at the bottom of your shoes. It helps with that heavy walking. I'm sorry to say,
okay,
it helps with heavy walking. And that's not to offend the ladies.
Give you some cushion, right?
It's very good.
The cushion. All right. All right.
Have a good one, my brother.
You too, brother. All right, Jay. Good to hear from you, brother. Peace. Brother Paul, how are you, man?
Baba Ochi.
Yes, sir.
I am alive. I'm alive and I'm kicking. So if I'm alive and kicking, I will always say, just give thanks for life. And that's how right. are you, Baba Ochi?
I'm well, you know, and I agree with you. The moment I wake up in the morning, I'm thankful. And I feel blessed, and I don't take it for granted. It's another day. I don't know what I'm going to do that day, but I'm going to do something, even if it's nothing. I'm blessed in it. That's
absolutely,
for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely, yep. absolutely, absolutely. Give thanks for life. Give thanks for life. Baba Ochi, I was going to talk about Umar Johnson. You mentioned it, right?
Yeah.
But as the subject's been highlighted again, you know, it's a pretty, for me personally, you know, sometimes, Baba Ochi, you get directed to things. And I sometimes can't fully understand how you get directed, like how I came to this radio station. I can't remember.
Okay.
But I came here. And, you know, why I came here and how I came in contact with him, and how I used to listen to David Anderson's radio station, and David Anderson put him on that radio station.
Okay.
And he was on there for about two weeks, and I listened to him.
Mm-hmm.
And this was years ago. And when I was listening to him, I heard about him. I didn't fully know him, heard about him. But when he was on that radio station, a few people on your side of the pond phoned up to question him about laptop dancers and someone who donated a lot of money, a basketball player or whatever, and withdrew the money.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting to me. Let me tell you why it's interesting to me. When I left school, I went into a solicitor's office, a lawyer's office, yeah, as an office junior, right?
Okay.
And they made me go to court every day. I was in court for about 3 years, every day in court. So I learned a lot of things, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me, ever.
Good.
Because I saw real life in its flesh.
Mm-hmm.
I saw everybody in its flesh. When you're getting divorced and how you're going to behave, I saw it. When you're a career criminal, as they call it, with your shotgun robbing banks and robbing this one, robbing that one, I saw you. Mm-hmm. And I started to learn patterns of behavior, and I started to learn people's behavior and psychology. So at the point I'm at now, I realized I don't have to see these people to know who they are. I just have to listen to their words.
Sure.
Because you know what words do? Words form images, you know?
That's
the brain
right.
doesn't form words, Baba Ochi. The brain forms images, and their images are made of patterns. And patterns are based on numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So hear what now? You just have to listen to what people say, and you know that they're bullcrapping you. You know that they're hoodwinking you. Mm-hmm. You don't have to know them. You just have to listen to their words very quickly. When you come to court, they put you in a dock. Why do they put you in a dock? Because they need to know what you're saying. And when you speak, they write it down. And they see the patterns in your contradictions very quickly. They know whether you're lying or not. Absolutely no. The judge really knows that you're lying. He knows because he sees case after case after case. And you, with your lying and your pretense and claiming that you're innocent. Yeah, you complain that you're innocent. He already knows you're not innocent. He knows you're not innocent because he sees people like you all the time. He's been there for 10, 20 years. He knows who you are. So what I'm saying is, Baba OG, what I'm saying is, you know, a long time ago, I realized this. He weren't telling the truth. Long time ago.
Yeah.
But you give people the benefit of the doubt.
And see, Paul, that's what I did. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. And still to this day, he is the most articulate person who delineates our struggle globally, on the continent, in America, in London, wherever he is. But yet, his actions speak otherwise. And so therefore, his message becomes very distorted. You know?
Well, Baba Oshie, let me tell you this, yeah? I have to slightly differ with that opinion.
Sure.
Right? Because maybe that's the impression he gives, but I don't think that's true at all.
Okay.
Look, let me tell you why I don't think that's true. You see, the problem with the internet, yeah? Look, Baba Oshie, remember when he came on that interview, right? And Brother Elliot told him, he's the one who phoned me and told me if I want to speak to him, because I already told him my position with him, right? Okay. And based on what, I got family in Canada, yeah? I've got family in Canada. And they're younger than me, right? And a couple of them are very highly conscious. They're like fanatical about consciousness with their colors and everything, yeah?
Right on. Where are they? Right? Where are they in Canada?
Toronto.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Ontario. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So listen. The group they're involved in, yeah.
Uh-huh.
They invited him to come there, right? But what it was, he was asking for too much money. So they emailed me. Look at this. They emailed me and they said, "Do you think we should pay him this money?" I said, "No. Don't pay him that money. I mean, why is he asking for that amount of money, yeah?" Anyway, Irritated Genie they were going to call as well, yeah?
Okay.
So in the end, right, it was a dispute over money because they said they're not paying him, yeah? So he's telling them that he's going to sue them.
Right.
Because they're young, listen to this, because they're young, they're a bit intimidated.
Okay.
So I sent an email back. I said, "Listen, don't worry about him, man. Forget him. Just forget him, man.
Right.
He ain't going to sue you. He's just bluffing, man. Let him go to hell." So anyway, they invited Irritated Genie instead, right? I'm putting this out there because it's not for a chapter of my imagination. Now, listen to this. I sent that information to one of your hosts in America, big-time host. You all know who he is. I ain't going to call his name.
Okay.
And he sent me some information back. That radio host used to have him on all the time. And when he sent me that information back, I didn't realize, hey, everybody knows. You see, people knew. And this is my problem with our people, yeah? It's not that they don't know. They know. They know what's going on. But they allow these things to happen. And that's what bothers me even more than what he does. And let me tell you why that bothers me, yeah? Because even the place I grew up in, I see this behavior all the time. And I look at people and I'm thinking, why you allow these people to, you know, when they come around, you're chatting to them. Some of them done some nefarious business, sexual business, nonsense, all kind of crap. And I'm thinking, why are you still talking to these people? Why you allow these people to come around you and pretend like nothing's going on? And that's the problem I have with our people, because I don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you confront the person? Why don't you ask that rah-rah person, what's going on? I'm not saying everybody, because I have some friends, bruv. If you come down with your nonsense, right, they're going to ask you two questions. And if you don't answer the questions, bruv, you better be ready to go toe-to-toe, or you better have your things on you, because they're going to come for you. You understand? Mm-hmm. So I don't understand this business where you allow these people to come among you and you pretend like nothing's going on. No, people know, Baba Ochi. People know.
Sure,
we have adopted a culture to overlook things. Overlook. And you see that overlooking things, yeah? That's a downfall. Because that's how we allow sharks and harbor sharks and wolves to come among us. And then we wonder why we get taken out all the time. by these nefarious people. You see, we you know,
no, no. You know, you say this, Paul. Right? Paul, let me say this. I agree with you. And I agree with you even to the extent of what I said earlier about him articulating, because he does, but we shouldn't let him among us. Because why? He has no integrity. Right. He's full of shit.
Yeah, I was going to say to you, yeah, when you said he articulated, I'm thinking to myself, this can't work. They come with this articulation. You see, he says he studies psychology. Don't you see psychology is using on the people? Mm-hmm. You know when he says things, right? He says things three times. You know why he says things three times? Because the psychologist told him, if you say it three times, you cement it in their mind. You bypass the hippocampus, or whatever they call the part of the brain which is analytical. You bypass it, and he goes into the subliminal. That's why he's doing it. He's into psychology. You know, I'm saying, people, what, you can't see what he's doing? Why do you keep saying things three times? He's trying to bypass your consciousness. I'm going to just plant a seed in your subliminal. So you're not analytical, analyze what he's saying. Later on, like one woman, right? She's arguing over me. She keeps sending me things. I said, don't send me them things, yeah? Now she wants to argue with me. Oh, it's because you don't like him. I never told you I don't like him. I've got a problem with him. But what I do know, he has a problem. He has a problem. And I don't know why we just tolerate this madness. And it's not just him. There's lots of them like this. They're just nefarious. And, you know, it's not good. It's not good is what I'm saying.
Ashe, I agree.
Worst enemy. That's what I call Baba Hochi being your worst enemy. I'm sorry. That's what I call it.
And you know how I feel about that, but I hear you, man. I hear you, Paul. Exactly. Somebody like that coming into your midst and trying to, you know, manipulate you and to get you. And see, that's, I mean, as bad as it is for us as a people and the things that we need to do, we don't need that. We sure don't need somebody.
We don't. We don't need that.
Who's saying what he's saying and to be somebody who's dirty. To be somebody who is devious. To be somebody who is conniving. No. Mm-mm. No. So.
We don't need that, Bob Hodge. We don't need that. We're much bigger than that. We're much brighter than that. Yep. We don't need that. I'm telling you. We don't need the articulation or the pumpy show or the peacocking. We don't need that. Yep. We just need to be real. And we've got real people among us. Just be real and leave it like that.
Yep. I agree. Well, let me catch a brother Ted Lusk here before we go off. Thank you, Brother Paul. Appreciate you, man. Hope to hear you on Friday. Okay?
Yeah, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Brother Ted, how are you doing? Brother Ted Lusk, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Bubba. Oh, shit. I, of course, jumped in on late. I don't know what y'all were talking about or at all. But I'll try to catch up another time.
Well, my brother. Well, I started off talking about, you know, Black August. You know, and highlighting some things about them. We're in the middle of Black August and some of the things that have done, and it's extraordinary that, you know, the number of things that have happened this month, the number of people who lived and died, born and died this month. So, yeah. And I wanted to play a piece that I thought was pretty decent, but my tablet is gone out, man. So my equipment is faulty. So I didn't get a chance to do it. I just opened the phone lines. And Brother Jay called. I was good to hear from Brother Jay, man. Definitely.
Oh, good. Yeah. Very good. Well, I'll catch you next time.
All right. You know it.
But, thank you for picking my call. And
always.
See each other another time. Or hear each other another time.
All right, dear brother. Peace to you.
Peace.
We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for being a part of this. I appreciate you so much. Shemhotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. BB48 means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Y'all have a blessed and wonderful day. Okay? Peace, family.